I'm Jeremy Barron, and this is Colchonero Chat, the only weekly English language podcast dedicated to Atletico Madrid and the official podcast of Into the Calderon, SB Nation's home for all things Atletico. My guest on this edition of Colchonero Chat making his standard Monday appearance on a Monday. It's his standard Monday appearance on a Monday is Into the Calderon staff writer Rob Walker. Rob Walker is the guest on this edition of Colchonero Chat. Rob joins me to discuss another 1-0 win. What else? This time Atletico getting the job done at Malaga. A little bit surprising considering Malaga are pretty far and away the worst team in La Liga this season. Antoine Griezmann scoring inside 40 seconds for the only goal of the game. I've waited so long for Atletico to do this. Score in the first minute and then just don't do anything else the rest of the game. That really was Atletico's only shot on target over the 90 minutes. We'll talk about Atletico's 8th 1-0 win of the season, their 5th away from a stadium called Wanda. The strong defensive pairing of Jose Jimenez and Lucas Hernandez, Simeone down to bare bones back there, and they were outstanding. We'll talk about Vitolo's first start as part of an all-Spanish midfield from El Cholo. A quiet day for Diego Costa, picking up more points on Barcelona. Plus, would Atletico really be more successful this season if they played the more attacking style that many supporters want them to play? We'll debate that and more, including preview Thursday's trip to Copenhagen for the first leg of the Europa League round of 32. Before we bring Rob in here, a couple housekeeping items. Make sure to leave a rating and a review on iTunes. If you're listening to Colchonero Chat on that platform, the more exposure we get, the better it is for us, so we really appreciate any help you can offer. In addition, if you want to become a patron and get some pretty cool benefits, head over to patreon.com/colchonerochat. You'll get access to our bonus pods. You'll get access to a lot of other behind-the-scenes stuff, episode snippets, lots and lots more. So, and now and in the future. So head on over there if you want to support the show, patreon.com/colchonerochat. We'll be back with Rob Walker after this.
From Skype to Microsoft. Oh, yes.
Oh, yes. I hope they don't make me do that.
I don't know. They finessed me. I was struggling over here trying to figure out what happened.
But again, we got there.
Yes.
All right.
We did.
Well, great. So we have one of the best games of the season to talk about today, don't we?
Yes, it was thrilling. Especially if you watched just the first 40 seconds.
Wasn't it? Oh, best game of the season. But before we have a long, drawn-out discussion on that, let's do the whip around.
Oh, yes.
We are just about through 23 weeks of La Liga action. On Friday, Athletic and Las Palmas playing out a goalless draw. If you've paid attention to Athletic this season, that's not a surprising result. Aritz Aduriz and our old friend Raul Garcia both shown their 5th yellow cards in this game, meaning neither of them will take part in next week's game against Atletico.
Hooray! Well, we said to not see Raul Garcia, to be honest, but even if he does play for another team.
On Saturday, Villarreal and Alaves, that finished 2-1 to Alaves, who are just on fire at this point. They're now 7 points clear of the drop with their 8th win of the season, against a Villarreal team that, once again, played down to their competition. That's their second straight loss. Also on Saturday, Eibar pulling off a 1-0 win over Leganés. 10-man Leganés. I think they outshot them like 19-2 before they finally got the winner in the 94th minute.
Yeah, and they're up to 7th now, which is absolutely ridiculous, considering the position they were in when they first came into the league.
They are two.
And now they're in their Europa League place, which is amazing.
2 points out of 5th. That's incredible.
Absolutely
crazy. Real Madrid pumping Real Sociedad by a 5-2 scoreline. Cristiano Ronaldo getting a hat trick as they warm up for the PSG tie that I think they're going to win.
This was kind of bound to happen.
Yeah. Real Sociedad, they're in a bad way. It's their 5th loss in the last 6 in La Liga. On Sunday, Sevilla notching a 1-0 win over Girona. Barcelona and Getafe playing out a goalless draw. That was an important result, as we'll talk about. Celta and Espanyol playing out a pretty thrilling 2-2 draw. And Valencia, a very controversial derby win over Levante. Levante having a perfectly good goal ruled out that would have put them up 2-1. The very next counterattack, Valencia go up the pitch, and Vieto bundles home the go-ahead goal. Because, of course, he did.
Yeah, that was frickin, not a very good one.
Frickin' Vieto.
Bring on the VAR.
Yeah, and then Valencia get a penalty in like the 88th minute. The Zaza gave a shoved Robert in the back with a forearm, and Robert gets called for the penalty.
Well, like the refs, they're fantastic.
They're amazing.
We love them.
They're amazing. And Monday we have Depor and Real Betis, the managerial debut in La Liga of Clarence Seedorf. Rob.
Very interesting. I'm going to be interested to see him on the touchline. Obviously, a legendary player who happened to score a ridiculous goal against Atletico Madrid.
Yes, he did. All those years ago when he played for Real Madrid.
Yeah. But, yeah, it should be interesting to see him on the touchline. I mean, it should be a good match. I mean, always watch Betis. That's how you do.
Yep.
But it'll be interesting to see what he does. If he can pull them out of a terrible position, because they've been awful this year.
I wish him luck. I think he's going to need it. I think he's going to need it.
He's going to definitely need it.
Yeah, Depor, they're a mess.
Yeah.
Now, the one result we didn't talk about from Saturday, Malaga 0, Atletico Madrid 1. That's Malaga 0, Atletico 1. What a game! How thrilling!
A huge relegation six-pointer here. Yeah. it was good. First, honestly, I kind of had a premonition that this sort of thing was going to happen when we scored within 40 seconds. I was like, oh, God, I know what this means.
Like, it's a good thing that Griezmann got the goal inside 40 seconds, and also a bad thing because now they're really just going to shut up shop.
Oh, my God.
And boy, did they shut up shop.
Oh, man, they locked the door and threw away the key.
Griezmann's...
they had no interest in scoring.
Really, let me reel off some numbers for you. This is Atletico's 8th 1-0 win of the season, their 5th. Away from home.
Good.
They had one shot on target the entire game. It was the Griezmann goal inside 40 seconds. They were outshot 9-0 by Malaga in the second half. At one point, they were working on 48% possession against La Liga's worst team.
Oh, man, it's a weird one. I mean, I can sort of understand it from Simeone, because in previous years, going to La Rosaleda and playing Malaga has been kind of a difficult thing to do. They've had some giant killings over the years, so I can kind of understand it, but this year's Malaga is terrible.
They're really bad. They're their worst team in La Liga, and there's a chance.
They're easily the worst team in La Liga. And, I mean, Atletico, if they wanted to, could have spanked them. I mean, it was just kind of a strange decision, given how bad Malaga are and how low on confidence they are, that you just park the bus after 40 seconds. But, you know, whatever.
It's pretty much what they did. There were a lot of fouls. There weren't many chances. Again, Griezmann's goal was the only shot on target Atletico had the entire game, which is just crazy to me. Vitolo got his first league start, which we were both very excited about, but he only lasted about 51 minutes. 6 fouls and no cards. 6 fouls, though. What did you make of Vitolo?
I thought it was fairly quiet. I think he kind of is going to need a bit of a run starting, but I think it was good to see him get a good amount of time against Malaga. I think this was kind of a good game for him to start against a fairly weak opponent. He did foul a lot. He was very busy in midfield, which I think is probably why Simeone wants him. He is kind of that sort of player. You can see how he fits into the Simeone system, I think. Even though it wasn't a brilliant performance, you kind of see what sort of role Simeone's going to use him in.
Yeah, I thought he was pretty efficient with how he passed. I mean, he completed about 88% of his passes, which was the highest of anyone on the team, other than Tomas, who was a substitute. Vitolo isn't a really flashy player. He never has been. He's never had a ton of flair to his game, but he works hard. He runs, he's versatile, he'll give his all for the team. That's why Simeone has always wanted him. And I agree, you could see a little bit of that in this game, although there were a lot of fouls. Like, I'm really surprised he didn't get booked at least once, and I think Simeone kind of knew he was about to get booked, so that's why he took him off.
Yeah, it was not the most brilliant game to watch. But, and even the goal kind of came from a fairly fortunate situation. I mean, Saul's shot bounced all over the place.
I thought it was a pass, honestly. I thought Saul meant to do that.
Really?
I thought he did.
I thought it was a mistake.
It would have been perfect if it was a mistake, honestly.
I thought it was a strike that it kind of deflected a little bit, but either way, it was a bit fortunate, and Griezmann scored, and that was it. And, you know, other than that, I mean, I was very happy to see Jimenez and Lucas starting together. I thought that was something I've been looking forward to all season, really.
Yeah, and they were, Lucas and Jose Ma were amazing together.
Yeah.
As you mentioned,
I thought they're tremendous.
According to Who Scored, Lucas, 16 clearances. Jose Ma, 18 clearances. Wow.
Hey, I mean, in a way, perhaps this sort of strategy in this game wasn't a terrible idea because it sort of beds those two in together in a kind of hold on for your dear life scenario in an Atletico team together as a partnership for, you know, not the first time, but certainly they haven't played together that much. But, yeah, I thought they looked really good together, and I'm, you know, it was out of necessity, and Godin will be back, but I don't know. I liked what I saw.
Yeah, I mean, they're both obviously two of the best center back prospects in Europe. Who do you think has the higher ceiling based on this season? Because we've seen Lucas play more. We've seen Jose Ma kind of grow, even though he hasn't played as much. Who has the higher ceiling?
I think they're really close, to be honest, at this point. I think that they've both shown signs this season that they're capable of being extremely positive contributors. I prefer Lucas myself, but I think they're very close in terms of ceiling.
It is really close. I mean, they're both pretty versatile. I think Lucas has a bit more versatility about him, because we've seen Jose Ma play right back before.
Yeah.
And Lucas can do a job at left back. It's so close. I slightly, if I had to pick one, I'd say Lucas. Just because he's a couple years younger, and he is a bit more positionally sound. But Jose Ma has taken big leaps in that regard this year. I mean, he's barely put a foot wrong when he's played. This has by far been the best stretch, uninjured stretch that he's played at Atletico in some time. And it was great to see. They were both huge on Saturday. And they made all these clearances, but it wasn't like Malaga were threatening. And this is kind of what I want to segue into. Malaga had about 48% of the ball at full time. But they never really threatened from dead ball situations. Oblak had to make one save from a Rosales free kick, and it was a great save, but that was really the only time Malaga troubled them.
Yeah, if you just look at the shot numbers, it looks a bit lopsided, but really none of Malaga's opportunities were of any sort of quality. I mean, at no point did I feel like they were going to score on, you know, kind of a counterattack or just getting an open look in the box, but I was never really in any great concern that they were going to score. They've shown this season that they can't really score, so I didn't really see how that they could break through this back line, even though it was a little bit, I mean, it was actually sort of full strength, really. I mean, okay, fine, Lucas and Jimenez haven't played together that much, but, you know, these are two natural center backs, right footer, left footer, and then you have Felipe and Verselko in the team, and I think this defense looked quite good. This would probably be my preference. I mean, Godin is fantastic, and I could see him going in for one of the center backs, but that back line looked nice, I think.
Yeah, it was excellent. And just all the clearances that Lucas and Jose made alone were just impressive enough. Felipe came back for the first time in 2018. We didn't mention that, but I think he looked pretty good. A little bit of rust, especially going forward. I mean, no one really played well going forward for Atletico in this game, but really good to have him back. He really does make this attack click. We know how much Atletico missed him when he was out, especially in that Copa tie against Sevilla. Really good to have Felipe back and putting this back line at relative full strength, even with Godin and Savage out. Godin, by the way, is going to play this week.
Mm-hmm. I saw that on Twitter this morning.
He's going to play Copenhagen. All Spanish midfield, which I thought was kind of interesting, between Vitolo, Gabi, Sal, and Koke. Kind of rare that we see that.
It is.
But it was pretty cool.
Yeah, I didn't notice that.
It was pretty cool, I thought.
All Spanish midfield and all foreign backline.
Yes.
Unless Lucas changes. But we're yet to see on that.
talk a little bit about Griezmann's performance before we get into the meat of our conversation, which was Atleti's style. Griezmann, I thought, was great. Especially just in a full, you know, in a full kind of box-to-box type of game. He was tracking back, making big tackles around his own box, then bounding up the pitch to kind of start a counterattack. This is the Griezmann that we've been missing for a lot of this season. The one that appears really dedicated and passionate about the cause. This was, I think, a fully locked-in Antoine Griezmann.
Yeah, things of his form has kind of started to bounce back, and now he's sort of, you can tell he's kind of feeling a little bit better about it. He's more willing, as you say, to track back and make tackles, which is something that we were desperately kind of missing at the beginning of the season. He'd just kind of stand on the halfway line for a lot of the time. But anyway, he's sort of back to his best, I think, I hope. But, you know, he had that incident last week that was silly and he shouldn't have done it. But, you know, I think he may be coming into a bit of form in a good time.
Yeah, playing withdrawn in a withdrawn role just off Diego Costa's shoulder, which is where he is at his best. He was never a number nine, but he can't play well withdrawn in that role as like a number 10. He hasn't ever consistently been able to play that role week in, week out. So this kind of role is just perfect for him. Costa, very quiet day for him, didn't get much supply. There wasn't much supply to be had, in fairness. So he had a quiet day, but it wasn't for anything he really did. And he came off with about 15 minutes to go, likely to prep him for Thursday.
Yeah, I think so. But I think it was good that on a day when Costa was quiet, as you said, that Griezmann was able to, you know, get the goal and be able to step up even when Costa's not at his, you know, barnstorming best. But it was a fine game. I'm glad we won, but, you know, it was... You know, a little bit dry for a lot of it.
And as if Cholo didn't want to slow it down anymore, Torres came on for Costa.
Yeah, that was great.
it was just banter. Just so much banter. Yeah. Malaga are really bad. You know, there's just not much talent here. I think Jose Gonzalez, and to a much lesser degree, Michel, I think they've organized them pretty well. I mean, Malaga were pretty well organized throughout this game, and they just lacked the ideas, though, and they lacked the quality needed to break down an Atletico defense that was really just all too comfortable. I mean, this is a team that's going down.
Yeah, I think so. And like I said, there's not that much talent in this team. I mean, they made a ton of transfers in January that are hopefully they hope will keep them up. But
yeah, about 4 months too late.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they're already pretty far adrift.
Yeah.
Samuel Garcia, I think, is pretty good. He was good with them before he left, but then didn't really get that much playing time.
Yeah, he went to Villarreal with Castillejo, I think.
Right. That's right.
Just never really got a run there.
Yeah. So now he's back. I kind of like that Yusuf En-Nesyri kid. He's really quick. I noticed that was one of the few things I took away from this game. He's fast. I'm like, okay, I like this guy.
Yeah, he's only 20 years old, and I wonder. Yeah. If he has a bigger move in his future, assuming Malaga gets sent down, he's probably going to move.
I think almost certainly he'll get pinched if they go down.
Yeah. I mean, you have him, you have Kiko who could move on. Luis Hernandez is probably way too good to be, is way too good to be playing in Segunda, former Leicester City man. Roberto Rosales, their captain, is a pretty good fullback. So, yeah, but watching this game, just watching how Malaga just could not generate anything whatsoever, aside from dead ball situations, yeah, they're going down. They're not good.
Yeah, and I know we're going to get into this later, but I don't mind Malaga. I don't have any upset with them, but I just feel bad because they are truly terrible.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's over for them.
Yeah, they have a ways to go if they want to stay up, and
I don't think it's happening.
Let's just say, I think 538 has them about 87% to go down.
Yeah,
that's about right.
That's probably about right. The relegation, it's splitting up a little bit. We thought it was going to be a little bit closer than it is right now, but Espanyol and Real Sociedad are kind of, and Alaves really are pulling themselves out of it. So. Looks like Levante may be the one on the bubble, and they could easily get sucked in if Las Palmas dip. Or
I think they're going to go down. I think Levante are going down. I mean, they won one out of their last 18 in La Liga. You just cannot stay up doing that.
You have to win games, and they have so many draws. 11 draws. I mean, that just won't do it.
Yeah. They won only three games this season. They won only three games. One of them is against Las Palmas.
It's ridiculous. So. I mean... You have to get threes. The 1 points, they don't do it for you if you're trying to stay up. So no. I don't think it's going to happen for them.
So after this game, there was quite a bit of complaining about how Atletico played kind of negatively, which they did, about how why Atletico couldn't go out and just thrash Malaga like 4-0 or 5-0. And this kind of got me thinking about Atletico's season at large in La Liga. We're now 23 weeks in. Atletico have one loss. They're second, 7 points behind Barcelona now. So I'm going to pose this question to you, Rob. If Atletico were playing the more open, expansive attacking style that so many want them to play, how much better off would they be? Not just in La Liga, but in other competitions too. How much better off would they be?
I think they'd be about 4 losses worse off, probably.
So about the same, maybe a little worse.
Yeah, I think they would have lost a few more games than they would have playing the way they are. I mean, obviously, the annoying thing is that Atletico also have a lot of draws, and a lot of those have been pretty boring. And that's the thing. You kind of want to risk it to get the win, but I think sort of the way this team is built right now, it's a thin squad, and defensively it's extremely thin, given the injuries and stuff that's happened, players getting older, etc. I think this is probably the best way for this team to play, and I think Simeone probably knows that. He tried a little bit, we know, tried to go to sort of a more attacking style, and then it would end up in Atleti playing these ridiculous games where they scored a bunch of goals, but then the opposition scored a bunch of goals, and then they got scared, and then they lost to Real Sociedad 3-0 or something like that.
Oh, the 2-0 at Anoeta last year, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. So, and then that sort of changed everything. So, I get it. It's annoying to watch some boring matches sometimes, but it's still a successful strategy. I don't think you can really knock it for that. I mean, from a purely entertainment standpoint, I get it, but I think you have to think kind of seriously about where this team is at right now, and I just think this is the best way, probably, for this team to have any sort of success.
I mean, 4 words. Look at the results.
Yeah.
One loss in 23 weeks is absurd. Atleti have lost 1 league game since last May. 1. I mean, it's incredible. And no, it's not pretty. Javi Gomara from Mundo Deportivo had a really good tweet about this. He said, oh, the neutral complains how boring Atletico are. Like, you can change the channel if they're too boring. I mean, look at their results. 15 wins, only Barca has more. 1 loss, only Barca has fewer. 9 goals conceded, only that's far and away the best defense in the league. Well, not far and away. Barcelona have conceded 11. But the next closest team is Getafe. They've conceded 21. Even though Atletico aren't... I don't think they're as strong as they were in past years defensively, but Oblak has taken that step to becoming, I think, the best goalkeeper in Europe, and that has kept their defense afloat at times this season. Yeah, it's a bit annoying to see, you know, Simeone... You know, insisting with Koke on the wing and kind of insisting with, you know, kind of lower possession numbers, and I think Atleti are capable of. But look at the results. And the question is, if Atleti were playing that kind of style, that more attacking style, how much better would they be? Would they still be in the Champions League? Maybe. But you also have to consider how unlucky they were in the Champions League. I don't think playing like a 4-2-4 in all-out attack mode every game in the Champions League would have saved them. They just got extremely unlucky, and that was their one prolonged slump of the season. They just picked a really bad time to have it. And the Copa del Rey, I mean, Sevilla beat them pretty good, and that was just one of those things. Sevilla are cup specialists. They always have been, and they've been playing much better under Montoya since that derby loss several weeks ago. So I don't really think you can argue that Atletico would convincingly be better if they attacked even more. I don't think you can make that argument. I think they would, I agree with you, I think they would probably be about the same. Maybe even a little worse off. They've only conceded 9 goals in 23 weeks, man. That's pretty good. 9.
Yeah, their goal difference would almost certainly probably be worse, I think. But I think maybe the Champions League is the area where you could probably make the most convincing argument that they could have improved.
But again, I mean, they had, I want to say, over 90 shots in those 6 games, and they scored, geez, maybe, I think like 6 goals, 5 goals?
Yeah.
Whatever it was.
That's true.
Yeah, I mean, they had 1.2 goals from 75 shots.
And even if they had gone for it in the Champions League, I think that in the league they would have been much further down than they are now.
Yeah, I think it would have suffered.
Very easily could have been being fourth in this position, and we would be fine with it, and it would be very annoying.
Like they were last year. I mean, that was the situation last year when Atleti were, you know, they just cruised to winning that group with Bayern and PSV. They cruised to top spot in that group, but their league performance suffered. They were, if you recall, they were fourth much of the year before a late surge got them into third.
Yeah, and I think that this current team setup is probably better as a league team than as a Champions League team at this point. And I think there's probably going to be a lot of surgery to the squad in the summertime that could mean that in next year, I mean, Atletico will have Champions League probably. More than likely, and I think they'll then at that point there may be more of a go to go for the Champions League more than this season, which unlucky, but it could have been improved. I still am a bit annoyed about that Champions League campaign.
Isn't it weird how Atletico have just become this super good league team, and now they're rubbish in knockout football? Over the past 18 months has been a really weird transformation.
It is, and the team hasn't even changed, really.
No.
The players are mostly all the same.
Yeah, they're now 7 points back of Barcelona, which has some people dreaming, perhaps. Daring to dream. I mean, those two don't tango until March 4th, so there's plenty of time until then, but 9 points ahead of Valencia, 10 ahead of Real Madrid, 15 points clear of Villarreal in fifth. They're going to be back in the Champions League next year.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, you know, Atletico could have certainly could have taken a few more risks against Malaga, who, again, have just 13 points from 23 weeks and have only scored 14 goals this season. They almost have as many goals as they have points.
That's really sad.
Yeah, but I mean, the results kind of speak for themselves.
Yeah.
I mean, Simeone has built up enough credit in the bank to where, you know, you got to trust him. And they, again, one loss from 23 weeks. I keep coming back to that. If Atletico were playing a more offensive style, I think they would be worse.
Yeah, I would agree. And, I mean, they're by far and away the closest to Barcelona in the league, so I don't think you can really ask for anything more than that. Barcelona have been excellent. They're undefeated.
Barca can't really say
anything about it.
They've been on another planet. Like, at most any other year, Atletico in this kind of form would be right there.
Right. They've just been too good, and, you know, you got to take that for what it is. Now we are just hoping that they continue to slip up, which they probably won't, but even still, you know, I think it'll be interesting. Atleti are at least within a chance. At least they can. At least we can think about it as a thing that might happen. I mean, we could be in fourth place of, you know, more than 10 points off the top, so.
Real Madrid.
Yes. yes, those.
Few more stats here before we move on to Europa League action. Woohoo! Atletico are now top of the form table with just five wins from the last six, and just one goal conceded in that time. Pretty impressive stuff. Atletico now only the second best away record in La Liga with just one loss from 12, 8 wins, 3 draws, plus 14 goal difference, only behind Barcelona in all of those categories. Jan Oblak kept his 15th clean sheet. 15 out of 23.
Yeah.
Good lord.
He loves him. That's the reason we're playing this way, is so we can get Jan more clean sheets.
He loves those clean sheets, man.
He wants them. He wants all of them.
And Lucas Hernandez, he's made 12 starts in La Liga, 11 clean sheets, one goal conceded with him in the starting lineup.
He is good.
That's not bad. Yeah, Oblak having 15 clean sheets at this point in the season is pretty absurd. Yeah.
Absolutely ridiculous.
Like, that's insane. You know, you wonder how many he could get.
I mean, he's only conceded a goal in 8 games. Good gosh.
Yeah.
It's so crazy. Well, that's why he's the best.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. All right, Europa League, Thursday. Get pumped. Atleti traveling to Denmark to take on Copenhagen in the round of 32. First leg, we'll have a little bit more on that this week. I'll be doing a Q&A with the Danish football news site, so that'll be pretty cool. Look for that a little later on in the week. But the Danish Superliga, Copenhagen currently fourth after romping to the title last year. They're 18 points off the pace in fourth place.
Yeah, I'm looking at that, and it doesn't look like they've been very good this season.
That's, yeah, it's weird. They through the regular 26-game season last year, they were invincible. 19 wins, 7 draws. They ended up in the championship round, which added a further 10 games. They finished with a plus 54 goal difference and 84 points. This season, a very different story, it looks like.
Yeah, I can't claim to be an expert, but I would imagine that since they did so well last season, they probably lost some good players, and then you add in all the games they had to play, Champions League, and then now they're knocked into Europa League. They're you can probably see how they're struggling, a little bit of a hangover, perhaps. You know, it's a very winnable game, I think. I think this away leg could be important, though. I'm sort of expecting a grinding nil-nil draw.
So that's your prediction?
I don't know. That's the, like, ultra-pessimistic prediction. yeah, why not? Well, why not? It's the away leg. Surely he'll go for it.
Well, 2-0. Well, it's interesting you say that, because kind of what we were talking about earlier with Atletico being a little bit closer in La Liga now. Barca have dropped points in back-to-back weeks. They've lowered that gap from 12 points to 7 points. How hard are Atletico going to try here? I mean,
that's a good question.
I could easily see Simeone saying, let's go for broke and try to win La Liga again. Let's do this. And just kind of putting Europa League to one side. I could see it. I really could. If they were still 12 points back, I think Cholo wouldn't have any reservations. But 7 points, surely he sees that as manageable. Whether we agree or disagree is another point, but I think he sees that as manageable.
I agree with you, but I think not only is the gap to Barcelona at this point less than 10 points, but also the gap to third and fourth place is so big, and to fifth and sixth, that it's not really a worry that Atletico aren't going to finish in the top four. So there's no real point to go for it in the Europa League, really. I mean, it's a trophy, but to go super hard at it when there's a chance at the title, I think it's pretty easy to see which way Simeone would probably lean.
I mean, Europa League, for Simeone and for Atletico as a whole, has been there, done that. I mean, Atletico have won it twice this decade, in 2010 and in 2012, the latter with Simeone as coach. I don't want to say they think Europa League is beneath them, but there's probably a little bit of that, considering, you know, you've been to two Champions League finals in the last 4 years. So there probably is a little bit of that at play. And La Liga doesn't look impossible, at least as impossible as it did a couple weeks ago.
That's right. And I think you might as well go for it, because I think, you know, there's every chance of a Barcelona slip-up at some point. So you might as well. And you have to be going hard to capitalize on them slipping up if and when they do.
Yeah, if we're picking between La Liga and Europa League, I pick La Liga every time.
Oh, 10 times out of 10, yeah.
But I also just wonder how likely it is. How many more Barcelona slip-ups will there be this season? Probably not very many. I mean, Atletico will have to go win that head-to-head at Camp Nou, and they'll have to get some help along the way.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much. They're going to need slip-ups against some bad teams, and then beat Barcelona, and then hope that they get beat by one other top team, I think is the only realistic thing. But, you know. Right. It'll be close. It could be close.
I'm going to go with a 1-0 Atletico win. Why not?
Yeah, it's our most common result this season.
It is. Yeah, 8 times in the league.
Woohoo! Yeah, I can see that. I think getting an away goal is important for two-legged things. I'll be interested to see who starts. I think that'll be very interesting. I think we may see a bit of rotation.
We could. I think Godin's going to start.
Yep.
Vitolo will probably get another start. Hope he does. Costa and Griezmann up top, almost certainly. I think he'll go with a pretty pretty strong team for this tie. If it's out of sight after the first leg, he might rotate in the second leg. But absolutely no guarantee it'll be out of sight in the first leg, considering Atleti's knockout football travails this season.
Yes, well.
Which haven't been very good.
Some of our glorious games against Carabag.
Oh, Carabag. We're going to talk about Carabag in just a few minutes here in our bonus pod. Yes.
Oh, good.
All right, man. What else we got here?
I think that's all.
All right, so that will conclude the normal pod. Patrons, your bonus pod's coming up next. But in the meantime, for all you non-patron listeners, that was Rob Walker. You can follow him on Twitter at rwalk03. You can follow me, your host, Jez Barron, at jbbarron, J-B-B-E-R-E-N. Follow Into the Calderon at Into the Calderon. And like ITC on Facebook at facebook.com/IntoTheCalderon. Subscribe and listen to Colchonero Chat on your favorite podcasting platform, including iTunes. If you're on iTunes, make sure to leave a rating and a review. It really helps us out. In addition, if you want to sign up and become a patron, get some pretty cool benefits, including the aforementioned bonus pods and a lot more, patreon.com/Colchonero Chat is where you can do it. We'll be back next week. Adios.